it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly.
What time it is? The Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. It is a Thursday morning. Appreciate you being along and waking up with us. Coming up in the next 3 hours, and in this hour, we'll get you going with playoff baseball. Blue Jays suddenly with a series against the Mariners after their big win last night. In 20 minutes, we will ease into the National Football League with the Jags trying to generate more offense along with our power rankings. Thursday night football tonight, Bengals, Steelers going at it, and then our buddy Chris Mack is along during the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. One more step closer to the weekend. Here we are. Good morning, Chelsea.
And one more step underwater, Jenks. We have our work cut out for us this weekend when it comes to betting. My goodness. Normally, baseball, like, saves our bacon, but the bacon has all been stolen from us. We need our bacon back.
Bacon is nice and soggy this week. Do you like your bacon soft and soggy and undercooked? That's the equivalent of our bets. Oh, do you? No, you don't.
I like soft bacon.
Oh,
I do.
Chelsea, worst take on the planet. You like soft bacon? Crispy bacon.
I don't like it overcooked, though. Like, I don't want it to have, like, black, like, char on it. It depends on what I'm having it on, but I don't really like the super crispy bacon.
Oh, soft. Is anyone here a soft bacon fan?
Me.
Dead silence.
I don't mind a little bit of fat on the bacon.
I like a little fat.
Yeah, I like a little
bit
of fat.
I don't
like fat. So the soft, wait, okay, so soft, like I like, you know, because fat has the flavor. So soft, non-fat bacon is where we're going today.
Well, I like some fat, not all fat. Like, I'm not sitting there gnawing on the white parts.
Straight fat.
I don't know. Straight fat.
Straight fat.
But that's...
I don't like the bacon. I just like the fat. Foods.
I mean, that's probably a food in the South. Jenks, you know how the South is.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, here's bacon fat. Here's fat back. And you're like, what? Yeah. Is this a Perry? And they're like, no, we're selling this at Buc-ee's.
You're probably right. I mean, you are right. Not even probably. You see that everywhere. They're not wasting a thing. I'll just eat bacon all the time. Dylan said in the chat, he's right. It's always soft at the buffet at events. It's like, you know, I'll eat it. It's still delicious. It's bacon, for God's sakes. I just prefer mine a little crispier. But I get it. Now I'm starving, and I'm hungry for breakfast. And also, I don't think you guys can hear it, but D-Day and I are dying right now. We walked into the building, and they have had a fire alarm test now for, what is this going on, 20 minutes?
It has been going on for 25 minutes.
Oh, my God. So not only are we hearing, may I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? There is a fire in the building. There is a fire in the building. Do not use the elevator. Do not use the elevator. Of course I use the elevator. I was told downstairs it's a test. This test has been going on forever. So we've got the door closed. You can't hear anything, but these flashing lights are giving me a headache. I mean, they're coming through the windows here. Oh, my God. Anyway, glad you're home. Give me some bacon.
If the fire alarm is going off anyway, can you DoorDash a Foreman grill and make yourself some bacon?
Oh, that's not a bad idea. I like that you went old school with a Foreman grill, too. You know, I remember from those commercials when... I don't know why, but of course, George Foreman, who made hundreds of millions of dollars off this grill, by the way, and, you know, the grease would fall down into the tray, and on the infomercial be like, look at that. Isn't that pretty? Isn't that pretty? And it was the grease falling down into the tray. It's gross, but my God, I had a grill. I feel like a lot of people had a Foreman grill. Did you?
I think I did at some point because it's just so easy. Like, if you're not somebody who's super into cooking or if you're transient, because, like, remember, Jake played baseball for 11 years. So, like, we were split between residences a lot. So, I used a lot of these type of devices. So, Jenks, I'm just saying, all you have to do is plug it in, and you got yourself some bacon. Sizzling.
Mmm. Isn't that pretty? I'm going to start using that. And people are going to be like, I don't know that reference, but it always cracks me up. All right, let's hear about these bets. We'll get through them, and then we'll talk baseball.
Yuck. All right, so we both thought that the Mariners were going to win last night. They did not. In fact, they lost 13-4. I thought the Mariners were sitting pretty in this one. You know, they were playing at home. They had been better in this position. But the Blue Jays bats finally woke up to the tune of 13 runs. So that was a nice, easy loss that I was not sweating. Went to bed early.
I was with you on that. I also had the Blues -117 hosting the Blackhawks because Chicago was terrible. And of course, the Blackhawks with 5 unanswered goals to win 8-3. So sometimes that's just the way it be. Donkster again, Blue Jays money line against the Mariners. So he was on the opposite sides of us. That means he's 3-0 this week. I'm 1-4-1, and you are 0-2-1. But we got a couple days left to sort of right the ship here, and that's what we plan on doing. Last night in Seattle, look at the Blue Jays crushing the Mariners 13-4. Blue Jays +110 on the money line. Total set at 7. The over hits. Mariners get off to a perfect start. Bottom of the first, Julio Rodriguez goes deep to make it 2-0 Seattle. But then the hit parade begins for the Blue Jays. Andrés Giménez goes deep. It's part of a 5-run third inning. It's 5-2 Toronto. And then a playoff veteran comes through in the fourth.
First pitch swinging. This ball's hit in the air to deep center field. And George Springer gets it over the wall for a home run.
Makes it 6-2 Toronto, Springer's 18th career postseason home run. And then after going 0-for-7 in his first two games of the series, a superstar comes alive.
2010, Vlad Jr. sends a high drive to deep center field. Rodriguez, it's gone! First pitch of the fifth, Vlad Jr. launches a solo shot.
Ooh, call courtesy of FS1. He breaks out in a big way. 4 hits, falling a triple short of the cycle. Blue Jays also get home runs from Alejandro Kirk and Addison Barger as Toronto racks up 18 hits, Chelsea, and we have a series in the ALCS.
Oh, absolutely. A power display for the Blue Jays, because I'm looking at some of these home runs. These were not cheapies, because we talked about this game and the handicap saying, okay, Seattle is known as a pitcher's park because the dimensions are long. It's supposed to be cold weather, and so it's difficult for hitters to get it out of the ballpark. But George Springer hit it 431. Vladdy Jr. hit it 406. And if you look at the last home run of the night, Addison Barger hit it 414. So, like, these were not home runs where you're like, oh, well, in any other park, or he hit it to the short porch and...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Left or whatever. No, there were some absolute tank moonshots courtesy of Toronto.
I'm not laughing at you. Just for a hot second, Dylan put up the Vladdy Jr. as a kid shot and just kind of caught me off guard. Here he is now.
I know. I missed it.
So cute. So cute.
Damn.
Oh, I was like, Chelsea. Oh, there he is. Look at that guy.
There's four, that four
night for that kid last night. That kid right there. Unbelievable. I mean, you knew Vladdy Jr. I mean, yeah, sure, he could have gone on a cold streak. But, you know, we talk about this when it comes to Shohei or other stars that are still playing, you know, whose teams are still alive this time of year. And when you're that good and that talented, it's kind of only a matter of time before you break out. Like with Aaron Judge was a perfect example. Hadn't had a lot of success in the postseason, but we're like, the talent's there. Once he gets enough at-bats, he's going to start absolutely raking. He did, and that's what Vladdy Jr. did last night.
Right, especially since last round. It's not like he had a quiet bat. He was big against the Yankees. Mm-hmm. And even if you zoom out and look on a larger scale, this is kind of what happened with the Blue Jays. Because remember, this was the team that scored 23 runs in the first two games of that series against the Yankees. So, you know, baseball is one of those things where it feels kind of streaky at times, but there is a reason. It is a large sample size sport. So you play seven games in the LCS for a reason, to kind of give both teams a chance to show what they're really made of. So now we have finally seen the Blue Jays bats kind of get back to the level that we thought that they would be at, and more. I did not expect them personally to score 13 runs.
God, I didn't either. And also, we were talking about Shane Bieber handicapping this game yesterday, us handicapping his potential performance, and I think both of us were a little reticent in saying, I just don't know if I trust the guy. But look, the Blue Jays traded for him before the deadline for a reason, and he was great. Two runs over six innings. So it's interesting, too, how some of these acquisitions that teams make to make a playoff run end up coming through. And he could have gotten rattled early, giving up that long ball to Julio Rodriguez. But just like we saw with Yoshi a couple nights ago, where he gives off a leadoff home run, what happens? He calms himself, he locks it in, and he's really good. And Bieber was really good last night.
Absolutely. And because it's a seven-game series, I feel like he had a longer leash. Because if we were talking about, you know, the DS or the wild card round, if you give up two runs, you're out of there. You know, the bullpen is coming in and they're saying, okay, we can't let you give up any more hits. But because, you know, this is a seven-game series and they had some faith in their bats, they let it ride. And I feel like this was a huge move to save some of their bullpen. So it was a great move that paid off to keep him in the game. And it was nice to see that he settled down. Apparently, he said to, like, all of his teammates in the dugout, he said, hey, my stuff's actually working pretty well tonight. So if we could get me some runs, that would be wonderful. And what do? They gave him a ton of runs.
I love that story. I'd not heard that. And I think the way I sort of look at it is, and I feel like you'll agree here because you're a baseball gal, is that, you know, even if your stuff is on, I'm sure Jake experienced this, your husband, was he when he was in the majors, which is sometimes you can have really good stuff and guys just hit a great pitch. It happens. It doesn't mean that you're off. That's just baseball. Just because you give up a couple of early runs doesn't mean, all right, I don't have it today. It's either one bad pitch or, you know what, look, you just tip your cap and you say, you got me on that one. It doesn't mean I'm not going to be effective today.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, sometimes it boils down to, it was merely one bad pitch, you know, because you look at the first home run was a two-run bomb, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where you can have, you know, 100 great pitches, but if you mess up on three of them against a great team, that could be, you know, a lot of damage depending on how many runners you have on base. So I think it's one of those things where the veteran pitchers certainly know this. Like, I'm not saying that the younger guys don't, but I feel like they have more of a feel saying, hey, like, this pitcher or this pitch has a lot of drop to it. You know, my curveball's really dialed in today. So it's one of those things that I guess he knew it. And it's good that he had the faith because he did turn it around for a nice performance.
I think a good example of that is, who was the guy, was the Blue Jays pitcher, it'll hit me in a second, who gave up that monster shot to Aaron Judge when he just turned on an inside pitch on an 0-2 count. And
Louis Varland.
Louis Varland. And he was saying afterwards, like, that was a great pitch. I don't know what to tell you. And then the actual stats bear that out, where there had been more than 500 pitches this season on an 0-2 count where a pitch was coming that inside against a batter at the plate, and none of those pitches had been hit out of the park. But, of course, who hits it out of the park? It's Aaron Judge. So it doesn't mean that Louis Varland didn't have his stuff. It's just that, yeah, guess what? There's one guy on the planet who can hit this pitch, and it just happens to be arguably the best hitter on the planet, or certainly up there. So it just does happen on a regular basis, and I love the Bieber calmed down and had confidence in his stuff, but there are just a handful of guys that can sometimes turn what looks to be something innocuous into something momentous.
Right, and that's what you get at the top level of things. Like, this is the top 0.0001% of baseball players in the world, and we're talking about the postseason. There's only four teams left. So it's one of those things where sometimes it feels like if these players are locked in, there's just no stopping them. Yeah. Like, I'm thinking ahead, and I know we're not talking about the Dodgers game yet, but, like, those first two games of that series, nobody was hitting Yamamoto. Nobody was hitting Blake Snell. They were that dialed in that it just felt like the Brewers didn't really have a chance. But lucky for them, those two guys are not pitching tonight. So we will talk about that later.
We absolutely will. So Seattle now has a 2-1 series lead. And if you have that lead in a playoff series, you still go on to win 71% of the time. Get game four tonight in Seattle. How do you feel about the Mariners? We talked a lot about the performance of the Blue Jays. You still feeling okay about the Mariners now? Because I still feel like it's Seattle's series, but man, that was a statement by Toronto.
Well, I don't feel great about my instincts. The fact that I thought Seattle was going to win this game, they lost 13-4. So it's almost very similar to a pitcher that gives up like a moonshot home run. You're like, okay, do I have my stuff today? So, yeah. Jenks, I am not so sure about this series. I think we do maybe have a good series in store, but Seattle certainly has the advantage, and the numbers bear that out.
Yeah, Max Scherzer on the hill tonight for Toronto. Luis Castillo taking the bump for Seattle. And the Mariners, a short minus 125 favorite. We'll talk about that. And, of course, the Dodgers and Brewers series coming up later in the show. Coming up next, the Jags ramp up the workload for Travis Hunter, but why now? To the NFL we go next on the Daily Tip.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.